Today's reading is from Genesis chapter 3, and if you're using the church Bible, it is on page 5. And it's titled The Fall. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die." "You will not certainly die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." And when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel." To the woman he said, "I will make your pains in childbearing very severe. With painful labour you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." And to Adam he said, "Because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return." Adam named his wife Eve because she would become the mother of all the living. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. And the Lord God said, "The man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever." So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. And he drove the man out. He after he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. And this is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Lucy. Not an easy passage to preach from, so I think we pray for Roberto this morning. So, Father, we pray that you will use your servant to speak to us this morning. We pray that you will give us, you will open the eyes of our hearts to receive whatever it is you want to say to us today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Mm. Amen.
Amen. Well, what a passage, eh? A perfect passage for a grey winter day in England. It's all gloomy, and it's like, wow, you know, what do I get from this? So my wife, being the perfect wife, she said, I hope you have some words also of hope in this passage. And I said, well, you know, it's full of hope, but not here. There's hope later on. In fact, let me tell you something. It is impossible to understand the Bible without Genesis chapter 3. In fact, it is basic that we hear about the bad news before we preach the good news. How are you going to be attracted to the good news? How are you going to love to get to the good news and say, I really want to embrace the good news, unless you understand the bad news? It's like going to the doctor, and the doctor says to you, well, I'm sorry, we have discovered through this test that you have a terminal illness. And you just go, you collapse. That's chapter 3 of Genesis. But then he says to you, but not to worry, because we have found the right medication. And the latest research done is that if you take the medication, you really take the medication, you have 100% chances of survival. So what are the bad news? It's no bad news. We have the good news. We have the medication. Whoever believes in Christ, whoever puts the trust in the Lord, will have eternal life. So where is the gloom? But yes, we have to. I think as preachers, we are scared, especially in our Western society, we are scared of preaching the bad news. Everything that we have in the world today is because of Genesis 3. Wars, rumors of wars, unemployment, illness, broken relationships. You name me something that is not coming from chapter 3. Hard work? Birth pains? I've been on 3 occasions. And I think, what is this? If it was us who had to bring children, I think humanity had stopped probably 20,000 years ago or whatever. So we cannot understand the good news of the gospel unless, first of all, we understand the bad news. We are under the curse of God. Our relationship with God has been broken. But there is a good news. God has provided the fantastic medication that if we take it, 100% will be safe. So before we read chapter 3, we should also look at chapter 2, because everything starts on chapter 2, just one verse. Chapter 2, 2 verses, chapter 2, 16 and 17. You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die. Only one thing, no 10 commandments, only one commandment, don't eat. No, don't touch, because the woman misunderstood. The woman says, the Lord has said that we shouldn't eat, we shouldn't even touch. No, the Lord says, don't eat of the tree. I can see Rob that is going to check whether I'm telling the truth. That's good, that's why you should have the Bible. is verse 2. You must not eat from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die. No, that's not true. You wouldn't eat. You should not eat. You can touch it, but not eat it. So here in chapter 3, I mean, this is paradise. It's paradise. It's heaven on earth. A beautiful setting, fantastic garden. You don't have to work to get food. The perfect conditions, the perfect weather. It's the Spanish weather with the English countryside, which is impossible. I mean, if you have sun and you don't have rain, it's going to be brown. It's going to be dry. But no, it's beautiful, green, trees, fruit, everything that you can imagine, rivers, and fantastic weather. Perfect paradise, no unemployment, no wars, not difficult relationships, no NHS, no medication, no doctors, no pains and aches when you get old, no white hair, no boldness, a fantastic marriage. In fact, one day I said to my wife, just to try to see how she reacted, that one of the first things I'm going to do when I get to heaven is I'd like to have a meeting with Eve. I want to know what the first prototype of a woman looks like. But she was very fast, and she said, and also I would like to have a meeting with Adam, you know, to see what is the perfect man looks like. Perfect marriage, perfect man, perfect woman, perfect relationship with God. For every evening when the sun went down, the cool of the day, they went for a walk with God. What else do you want? But don't eat from that tree. Yes, just one tree. You have hundreds, thousands, millions of trees. It's only one. Don't eat from it, or you will die. And here comes the serpent. The devil always tells us something which is, there is some truth in it. If there was no truth in it, it would be impossible to feel that you can do it. But that is the wisdom of the serpent. This is the wisdom of Satan. In his temptation, he always tells us something which is truth. So we get the bite, and then after that, he comes the illness. Satan is trying to put humans against God. Look, fine, by the way, you know, God is a pain in the neck, don't you realize? He's taking away your freedom. He's taking away the joy. You could be perfectly happy if you really had a little bit of the fruit that is in that tree. But he's trying to spoil your life, taking away all the fullness of the joy. Don't you realize there are other gods? Why don't you go to another god who could probably give you also the freedom of eating, of touching, of delighting in everything that you want? So Satan is trying to create a rebellious heart against God, a rebellion in the heart. He's not a very good God, you know. He's telling you, not do this, don't do that. We also, as parents, sometimes our children think that we are bad parents. I don't know if you had this experience, but you know, sometimes you have to tell to your children, please, Sam, can you stop pulling the hair of your daughter, of your sister? You know, can you stop doing that? Can you stop eating her cakes? And this man and woman make a mistake, and they change good for evil. And they begins a revolution against God, a rebellion against God. And we all have that in our hearts. It's part of us. Sometimes I complain to God about the way he treats his servants. Sometimes I complain about the way he treats or he allows other people to treat his church. Satan is true. If you eat from this tree, you will increase your moral knowledge. Your moral consciousness will be increased. You will understand much deeper. You will see that you are naked. I know I'm not thinking really just in physical nakedness, because it makes me laugh when I see these pictures in big museums, like in the museum in Madrid, of this picture of paradise after chapter 3, these two human beings, a woman and a man, naked. Her long hair goes right into covering the right places in the woman. And then the man and the woman have these fig leaves, you know, covering again other parts, isn't it? It's so perfect. I think it's also to do with other kinds of nakedness. So men, if you... I'm sure you wouldn't be very happy, some of us, or all of us. I've been doing this job for 30 years and having long conversations with many men. Young men, old men, students. I don't think we'll be very happy if people around will saw our nakedness, some of the thoughts we have, some of the desires we have, some of the things we see, some of the things we say. It's a different kind of nakedness, isn't it? In which all of us, all men, in one way or another, we are ashamed. We will be ashamed. If we had here on our front head a little screen, like a television screen, with everything that goes through our minds, I think all of us will be ashamed. And what about you ladies? Some of your desires, some of your words, some of your thoughts. That's a much more serious nakedness, isn't it? Than just being physically naked. So yes, it is true. You will get a deeper moral consciousness. One of the greatest damages done by the fall on chapter 3 is the brokenness of our relationship with God. I don't think we can understand what it should be like just to have a walk with the Lord every evening, for a walk in the garden. Beautiful garden, can you imagine? Let's go for a walk with the Lord. What else do you want? Perfect, isn't it? You could hear his voice. You could ask questions, all kinds of questions to God. You could dream from his wisdom. You could feel his love very close to you, really touching you. He will probably walk with you, and he will put sometimes, from time to time, his hand around your shoulder. Come on. Can you imagine the closeness to the Lord? So that is broken. Verse 8, then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hide from the Lord among the trees. But the Lord God called them to man. He didn't call them the woman, by the way, which is also interesting. Because it's the woman who begins to the situation, isn't it? But it's the man. He calls the man. You are responsible. You should have stopped this. Where are you? Where are you, Adam? You should have stand up as a man against this kind of temptations, but you didn't. You have full responsibility for the situation, Adam. And then he answered, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. Yeah, I can, Lord, now you can see everything that is in my heart. I told you, says the Lord, I told you not to eat from it. And they begin to blame each other. Typical, isn't it? Nobody wants to hear responsibility. Yeah, no, it was my wife. It's the wife you gave me. That's so typical, isn't it? And sometimes we have our children blaming us for things. And you think, what is going on here? We blame each other. It's so easy to blame other people. The Lord says it is much easier to look at the speck on somebody's eye than to see your own problems. Isn't it? And we are so good in looking at somebody else's fault. It's so easy. But we cannot see ourselves. So they begin to fight with each other, finding an excuse, no responsibility. Work becomes harder. Birth pains. And at the end of the day, the Lord says, look, I don't even want you to go back into the garden. So he puts two angels, two special angels with huge swords of fire at the entrance of the garden. You will not come back. By the way, we are still outside the garden. We haven't come back. We are safe. Salvation is there. But we are experiencing wars, famine, illness, and all kinds of things. Why is that? We are still outside the garden. And just a word of encouragement before I finish. And then Adam named his wife Eve because she will become the mother of all the living. She is the great, 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 great grandmother of Christ. This is the good news. That's the medication. So although you have failed, is that what the Lord is saying to Adam and Eve? Although you have failed, you will become the first one that will bring Christ and salvation. Isn't that a beautiful way of closing the chapter? So let me tell you something. If somebody here doesn't know the Lord, if you know the Lord, fantastic. Why don't you give thanks to the Lord for the medication that you have already taken? Yes? It's not a terminal illness. You have the medication. And if you have never received the medication, it's a good day to receive it. Why not? Lord, I want to receive the medication. When the end of the day comes, I want to make sure that my dead illness is not dead anymore. So let's pray. Yes, Lord, we know that the serpent is very crafty. He's full of lies, half-truths. But we know, Lord, that you are full of wisdom. Thank you very much for the cross of Christ. Thank you very much because you knew from chapter 3 of Genesis that you had the medication for each one of us. So, Lord, we thank you this morning. We thank you for your goodness and your patience, and thank you for paying the price so we may have the medication to give us life and life eternal. So, Lord, we thank you and we worship you this morning in the name of Christ. Amen.